Coming up next, another edition of Reaching Out with Gregory Floyd, president of Teamsters Local 237.
Welcome to another edition of Reaching Out. I'm Gregory Floyd, president of Local 237 Teamsters. With me, a very special guest, Troy Walcott. He is the president and founder of People's Choice Communications, an employee-owned cooperative formed by local three members forced into a multi-year strike against Spectrum Cable. People's Choice Communications provides internet access to underserved areas of the city by using fixed point wireless technology. The company's goal is to reinvest profits back into the community while bringing an end to a multi-year worker strike. Troy operated as shop steward to 1,800 IBEW Local 3 employees for 13 of his 20 years of service with the company. In 2018, he was presented with an award by IBEW Local 3 for his tireless efforts to support men and women that he represents. Troy, welcome to Reaching Out.
Thank you so much. Thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
Now, I'm going to ask you about that name, People's Choice. And you may or may not know what I'm talking about. But back in the 70s, there was a singing group called People's Choice.
Okay.
And they had a record called Do It Any Way You Want.
Okay.
Did you name your organization after that?
Unless you can hum a couple of bars and tell me what it's about, I'm going to say no. I'm going to have to say no to that one.
Well, for the risk of ears of the listening, I'm not going to do that. But if People's Choice, Do It Any Way You Want. I remember that record. It's a popular record. Matter of fact, some DJs still play it today. And our listeners could look it up. People's Choice, Do It Any Way You Want. So what would you say is different about your company from most other companies, other cable providers?
I would say the core values of our company. I mean, everyone can provide internet. The problem is, how do you provide it and the service you provide to your customers, and then also what is your values as a company? So with our company, through the process of the strike and knowing that, seeing the system, seeing how it was built, knowing the problems that customers have, we have a good insight into where we believe the company should be. So what's different about People's Choice Communications? We decided when we were restarting this company that, you know what, the workers know how to build the system and the customers know what kind of service they want, and they also want to have lower rates. If we can combine those two together, the workers join with the customers, we can create a system that works for both of us. And because both of us have, you know, stake in the game, it will make sure that it's even on both sides. And that's the best company of all, a company that you're a part of. So our commitment to having the customers be a part of the company, and also our commitment to reinvesting profits back into those communities, is what makes us greatly different than the other cable providers.
Now tell us about the concept of you providing the service and having an employee-owned company and then reinvesting those profits back into the communities.
The goal of companies is to make a profit, and that's nothing wrong with that. The question is, what does that company do with that profit once it's made? You can either do like a Spectrum did and pay your CEO hundreds of millions of dollars, or you can take some of that money and break it up and have that money go back into the people who are actually paying those salaries and the community that it comes from. It's a little easier for us because the communities that we're serving are the same communities that we're in. So that might be part of it. But to have now where you pay your normal cable bill and part of that cable bill is getting portioned off because, you know what, the community knows that we need a daycare center for the kids. So let's take money and start investing and preparing to go back to a daycare center or education programs. So it's the same profit same profit potential, but one of the things we can do is cut out the waste that's going to CEO salaries and corporate buybacks, and then reinvest that money back into the communities and also keep people's high quality and keep people's prices low at the same time.
So I understand your company has programs on wealth and education and training and digital stewards. Tell us some of these programs and plans for the community, including employment opportunities.
Yeah. So, I mean, we're a startup, so we're just putting our company together, but we're eager to get this done. So we try to push some of this forward as quickly as possible. So one of the things, goals we have to work toward is like participatory budgeting, where money will come into the company every year. And then every year, the members of the community will vote on where that money goes. That would do stuff like daycares. But because we can't do that, and that's in part of the future, what we can do now is the question. So as we started providing service for people who didn't have service before, we found another problem where people now needed education on how to use this system. So we put together like a training program to show people basics on how to use the internet. We didn't want to stop there. These communities face a lot of problems when it comes to wealth education and creation, economic mobility. So we created what we want to do is a webinar series where monthly we go and do things around wealth education, creation, and economic mobility, where we're going to put that into the mix as well. And because we want to be able to have like a direct link to the community, we also just launched our digital stewardship program, where we look and we hire people from the communities themselves to be a liaison between the company and the community. So they can let the community know about things that we're doing for their buildings, their developments. And they can also give us feedback on what the customers think about the company, how can it improve, and how can we help them more.
Now, do you have, opportunities for youth employment, youth training?
It's something that we definitely would like to have if we can develop it. I know that I've had a conversation with at least one person I met while at an EDC event where they did, I remember when I did it, summer youth programs. So the question is, if we can take people early on and give them training on how these systems are built and maintained, we can take those same people as well and kind of move them up the ladder where they have, if not at least something they want to pursue, the education to be able to take that and go into other fields and do other things.
Now, if someone's listening from the Department of Education, and they wanted to partner with you to, say, have your program or have your concept go into one of the vocational high schools we have in New York City, what would they need to do?
I would say just contact us. We're always looking for partners. To me, public and private partnership with a goal geared towards helping the community and trying to, you know, create some type of social and economic change in communities that are underserved is what we're all about. So, I mean, education is like key to what we're trying to do, but that and anything else where somebody has that same similar mindset, we are more than willing to try to partner with them. So if anyone will reach out to us, our website has our contact information. We'd definitely be more than willing to learn.
And what website is that? The address?
Our website is peopleschoice.coop. So people's
okay. And could you spell it out? Because you have apostrophe in people's, but I don't think you have an apostrophe on the internet. So
correct.
For people's, spell it out for us.
So no apostrophe on the website. It's People's Choice, just like the kind of like the People's Choice Awards, People's Choice, and then it's .coop. So peopleschoice.coop, .coop.
Okay. So tell us about your work in, tell us how you came to this concept. I know there's a strike. I think that strike has been settled since then, but tell us about the idea that you have, who you have working with you, how many employees you have.
Okay. So the concept came, yes, it came because of the strike, and we saw that Spectrum had no intention of fairly bargaining. So the workers started to think about, you know, we may need to do something differently. So the idea came up was the best way is to do competition. They have no competition. So let's put together a plan to what if there was some kind of competition and we were that competition. The workers themselves pooled their money together to put together a business plan We hired somebody to create a business plan. We presented the business plan to the city, to elected officials. They liked it. Everyone said it was a good idea, but no one kind of took it and moved it forward. So you say, you know what? We built the system the first time over this past 40 years. The customers are upset. They want something different. Why don't we just do it ourselves, join with the customers and start this company? And that's when we changed to the idea where we're at now, where it would be a multi-stakeholder cooperative. So through that process, during the third year of our strike, COVID hit, and then everybody was highlighted about how bad the digital divide actually was. So there was a philanthropic effort to provide service to underserved areas of the city. During that time, we were able to connect and be that provider because they needed people to build. With no one to build it, we had the know-how how to build and needed places to build, and we were able to start from there. And then through that process, we were able to keep building out supportive housing developments, and the largest development we just filled was a NYCHA development in the Bronx, Melrose Houses. And to this time right now, though, the strike is still unsettled as far as what's going on, but we continue to just build out now. It's about bigger than that and more about, we see it more than just the strike now, and also the people that we've been able to help shows how much of an impact what we're doing with the internet can be.
Now, how many employees do you have working with you?
33 right now.
You mentioned NYCHA. Currently, you give free service and $11 laptops in NYCHA housing. How are you able to do that?
Yeah, I figured my ex about that one. It's just because of, I guess, how our company is modeled. Listen, when people get internet service, the people that pay these high rates, $80, $90 a month for internet, your internet probably costs maybe a couple of bucks. So if you want to think about it, what we decided to do is instead of going to like the spectrums of the world, they're not the people that provide internet. It's somebody behind them that does. So we went straight to the source. So if you thought about it, the way we put it together was kind of like a Costco. We're going to get all these people together. We're going to go to the warehouse and buy ourselves so we can provide internet cheaper. So we're able to lower the cost. And through that, the government started a program during a pandemic, which was the emergency broadband benefit, which has now changed over to the ACP program. The people that we're serving qualify this just because of their income level or the geographic area where they live. And we're able to have people sign up for the ACP benefit, and that gives us the ability, because our costs are so low, to provide internet service to them at no cost. And another thing that we push forward is also letting them know that there's also a device allowance to them, so we can thereby give them $11 laptops. That way now they don't just have internet, they also have something to use it on. So it's just, you know, there's no real profit behind all this work. It's a lot of work to get it done, but there is a good sense when you want to help. And because that is our core goal, we went through the extra steps in the work to try to get this done. And that's why we, you know, have a system running where we can easily put this in place and help people out.
Now tell me, what is a $11 computer?
It's not $11, I can tell you that. But okay. The customers only have to pay $11. Yeah, it's part of the government program. Like even okay. though we purchase the laptops and we give it to them, they have to pay something, and the minimum is $11. So the
minimum is $11. Now, how would someone, if someone thinks they should have one of those laptops, what would be the qualifications and where would they go to obtain that laptop?
So ACP benefit is available to people who, if your income is a certain level below the poverty threshold, things like if you qualify for Medicaid, SNAP, if your child goes to school and qualifies for school lunch, if you live in, say, public housing, or any of those factors, you could think about those, will automatically qualify you. But if not, you can also go to the ACP website, and they give a list there of the application requirements in order to qualify. But many people qualify.
Okay, and let me ask you, where is the ACC website? Because tell us the address of that.
Oh, if I give you the address and the URL, it'll be pretty long. But if you Google ACP benefits, Apple okay. Charlie Papa benefits on Google, it'll come up and that'll take you right to the site. If you hit apply now, it'll go through the list of requirements.
Very good. Very good. What's next for your company?
we have a model in place. I mean, a lot of people didn't think from where we started from, we would get to where we're at right now. They didn't think we can do what we are currently doing. So that was step one. Now, the thing about it is we have a system in place where we're able to provide free internet service to every low-income housing resident in New York City and a laptop for $11. There's no reason that everyone who needs that and wants that shouldn't be able to have it. So our goal now is to expand what we already started. We are at this one largest development is the one we have with NYCHA right now. We want to continue to do that. So there's many other NYCHA developments throughout the city, many other low-income housing. We can expand this to everywhere in a short space of time and for what most people think relatively quickly and cheaply. We want to do that. We want to be able to speak to city council members and figure out, you know, what developments in your area can use and need this. If it is something that you think your district needs, we can go out and help them. And all we want to do is be able to keep building it.
You're listening to Reaching Out. I'm Gregory Floyd, President, Local 237 Teamsters. With us is very special guest, Troy Walcott, and he is the CEO of People's Choice, and he provides internet service at a, I would say, below reasonable rate from what I'm listening to. Where are you looking to expand?
One of the things we started this from was through our strike, so we do have a certain affinity to try to go back to where we were, the areas where Spectrum currently covers, so we want to... I would like to expand. We had interests from places throughout the city and actually out of this state, but we want to focus on New York first. So I would love to get into all the five boroughs: Brooklyn, Queens, Staten Island is where we're not at yet. And also, I know there was a need in upstate New York where people were underserved and geographically because there wasn't service in the area and service was supposed to be built out to them and was promised to them, but was never built out. I would love to get our company to the point where we can actually now expand and help those people who are not being helped and provide high quality service to them as well. So immediately throughout the rest of the five boroughs that we're not in, we're in Bronx and Manhattan right now, and then hopefully then to upstate New York to be able to help those people.
How do you see your company helping to conquer the digital divide that exists in our city?
It's a problem right now that's, like I said, only been highlighted after the pandemic. The pandemic has subsided, but that problem that was highlighted is still there. The way I see our company doing it, being able to help with that is being able to be that bridge, that gap, being able to provide internet service to these people who, for more or less right now, it's not that they don't need it. They just find ways to work around not having it because they've not had it for so long. So we want to get these people back engaged and let them know there is something out there. There is another option that can get you, you know, back into the fold. And, you know, internet connection creates economic mobility. It's a way for you to be able to easily connect. So although there's a workaround, being able to have that access easily available to you gives you a chance to be able to move up and create some economic mobility. I believe us doing this work and providing the internet and these services at the cost we're providing, providing the job investment that we want to do, also as well as looking to take the $1 billion that's about to be invested in New York and having that money circulate back into these communities over and over again, will definitely, you know, help make a socioeconomic change in these places that we're serving.
Now, you mentioned $1 billion being invested in New York. Where's the $1 billion coming from and what is it for?
Okay, so the $1 million that's coming in is coming in from the infrastructure bill that was signed during the
million or billion?
Well, it's $65 billion. During Biden's infrastructure bill, $65 billion was dedicated towards bridging the digital divide. $1 billion of that, Kathy Hochul stated, was coming to New York City. So that money's coming in. Now, the question is, will that money be used to go back to kind of the status quo and the people who caused this problem get that money? Or will companies like ours, who are going to reinvest back into community, be able to use it? If we can take that money and put it into the communities and build out this system and then reinvest into it, that money will stay in these communities and continue to circulate. What's happening now after the pandemic is like the biggest crisis since the Great Depression. And millionaires were created after the Great Depression. We would like to see communities become millionaires out of this instead of just a few people.
And if someone's interested in your cable service or job opportunities, how can they find out more information?
Well, you can follow us on all our social media, which is the same name, People's Choice Communications, or check us out on our website at People's Choice, no apostrophe, peopleschoice.coop, C-O-O-P.
What would you say to the New York State Legislature, the New York City Council, the mayor of New York City, and the governor? Craft a message for all four that you would say why they should look at you and why they should call you in for a meeting and try to get your company up and running.
The biggest thing I would say is it takes a strong leader to be able to make bold change and take a risk to do that. The only great thing about us is we've already removed the risk. We have a proven model, the cable system that we already built, that we already running from. And we know that it's a needed thing. We also have a proven model showing that as the workers who now own the company, we can do it. So now we already have all the pieces in place that answers every question that people have been asking. How do we bridge the digital divide? How do we make it affordable? How do we afford good jobs? How do we invest in the community? We tick off every box. So the only thing to do now is really just to continue to let us do what we started. We've built this off of very little to no resources, basically sweat and bubblegum. I just would imagine what we can do if we have any help or resources in order to try to continue to build this out. It's a win-win for everyone on every level. I know there's a council meeting coming up coming up shortly to talk about the plan for the Internet Master Plan to try to expand to the city. This is something that we are heavily invested in because as we see that what we're doing, we could imagine providing free internet service to every low-cum housing development in New York City and having those people not only have service, but have a part ownership in that system. That's unlike anything has ever happened in the city. That's bold enough for someone to be able to take the initiative on. And it's also proven enough that you don't have to take a high risk to do it. Why wouldn't everyone want to do that?
You mentioned Melrose Houses that you have work in. So anyone interested in checking up on some of your work can go there and see how Melrose Houses is enjoying your work, your fruits of your labor?
Yeah, they could come see it, but in order to be able to get service, you have to be a Melrose resident. So I could let you come test it if you want, but
They could just speak to the Melrose residents and see how they like the service.
Yes.
Yeah. They should contact the tenant leader, the people working there, NYCHA, and find out how they like your service. I mean, they don't have to come and test it. Test it by the residents there.
Yeah.
Just ask the clients.
And we had great work there with the TA president helping us, Ms. Bolden helping us get that put in place and get that up and running.
So they can contact Ms. Bolden.
Wait, let me not put her information. Say that out there.
No. You contact her through regular channels. She's the TA president at Melrose. You go to Melrose, you ask to speak to Ms. Bolden, and that's how you contact her. We're not going to put the information out.
But yeah, she was in the great help, and that's been a great so far.
Very good, very good. So you got 15 to 20 seconds. Anything you want to say in closing?
I know, like, from where we started to where we are now, it's incredibly hard to be on a strike, especially in New York City, but to take where we started from, to build out to where we are now and see where we can go in the future is incredibly inspiring for myself and my crew. And we're hoping that, you know, we can show New York City that there is another option, that we can bring people together where they can have ownership in their future.
You've been listening to Reaching Out. I'm Gregory Floyd, President, Local 237 Teamsters. Our special guest was Troy Walcott, President, CEO of People's Choice. Thank you for coming on.
Thank you so much for having me. I appreciate it.
Thanks for listening. And don't forget to tune in again each and every Saturday at this same time for another edition of Reaching Out with Gregory Floyd, President of Teamsters Local 237. The preceding pre-recorded program paid for by Teamsters Local 237.